Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for who you are. We thank you, Lord, for now who we are and whose we are. Just pray, Lord, as we come together as your children, that we would grow in truth and knowledge of your word. Pray, Holy Spirit, teach us. Help us to apply this. Help us to understand this. Lord, we just lift this up to you now and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we get to the good part now. I say this because, you know, I could think back when my nephew, I think, was 6 years old. And back then, the big present for a Christian little boy was the armor of God, and it was all plastic, you know. It had the belt of truth. It had the shield. You put the shield on, you know. I don't really remember sandals, but I'm sure it had them too. It had all this helmet and everything. And so I remember getting him this for Christmas, you know. It was a big deal. At least I thought it was. And I'm putting it on him, and he just kept going, "Let me have the sword." I'm going, "No, man, you gotta put this other stuff. No, let me have the sword." And, "No, you got to put this other stuff on." Well, finally, I got the stuff on him and handed him the sword. Guess what? Within 5 minutes, all that other stuff was off, and he was taking the sword and swinging it like a baseball bat. Hey, gang, we've gone through the armor. Now we get to the good stuff. Not that it all isn't good stuff, but this is the sword, the Word of God. And when we go through this, I want you to really listen. Because we're going to touch something here that maybe you've never even thought of. Because see, some Christians are afraid to think this way. But put in its proper perspective, it's amazing. It's amazing. So, we are going through Ephesians and the armor of God. If you're not there, let's turn there. Ephesians chapter 6. Take the helmet of salvation. Remember, we talked about that word take. It means to receive the thing offered in speaking, teaching, instructing, to receive favorably, give ear to embrace, make one's own, approve. Not to reject, but listen, it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. So that means take, receive the sword of the Spirit thing offered. Take it. It's offered to you. Receive it. Accept it. The sword was probably up to 18 inches. It was more of a dagger. So it was for close hand-to-hand combats. Okay? Because we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities, with powers. I'm talking about that. The spiritual forces that are at work. Each one of us are called to be soldiers. We've talked about that. But I want you to take note again that the sword is of the Spirit. The word that you have in your hand has been breathed by God. We understand that it is living and that it is powerful. That God has said that not one crossing of the T or a dot of an I, it'll all be fulfilled. All of it. God's word, because see, God stands behind the word. It is God's word. It is God's. As we've learned that when God promises something, when He gives an oath, God does not lie. And those oaths and those promises are as good as gold, as we say. But actually, it's as good as God. It's God saying, this is my word. I breathed it. I've spoken through the prophets. What you see is infallible. It is my word. It's without error. Now, the word there spoken of is the word rhema. That word means to be uttered by the living voice, the thing spoken. So the sword is the spoken word of God. Now think about that with me. The spoken word of God. You've heard these things. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures, and it was so. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them, by the breath of his mouth. You remember what Jesus put out his hand and touched somebody and said, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Remember in the tomb of Lazarus, he spoke forth, Lazarus, come forth, and he came forth. God's word is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. God's word that even the enemy bows down to, because when the enemy came and tempted the Lord Jesus, he was showing us how to use the sword, pulls it out and says, it is written, it is written, it is written. The living, powerful word of God. That is what is in your hands, that the worlds were created, that man himself was formed, that every creature on this earth was formed, and if you will, the demons themselves that were fallen angels at one time were spoken forth in the word of God, and they were. That's mind-boggling. You can't grasp that, neither can I. That God in his intelligence, in his being, in his imagination, in his inspiration, in his power can say, let it be, and it exists. That's too much for you. It's too much for me. I can't fathom that. And then we understand that this very word of God in our understanding of it, meaning the imagination, the intelligence, the outward spoken revelation became a man. The Logos. The Word. The intent. The purpose. The meaning. Very God of very God, but became a man. A flesh and blood. And at any time, he could have looked at anyone and said, not exist. He could have looked right at Satan and said, not exist. Boom. He could have said, no more heavens, no more earth, poof, gone. But he didn't. No. Because he went to the cross. See, that's the thing, is to understand why. Because, see, the church fails so miserably at this because we have so many teachings about this that are not totally correct, and we'll get into that. It's the name it. You declare it. You speak it forth because God has given you the sword. Now you speak it forth and it exists. And it's because of your lack of faith that it does not happen. That you imagine, you think, and you speak it out that you want this car, this house, this life. And if you will, that's taking something that is so wonderful, so mysterious, so powerful, and trying to use it for themselves. But see, that very word that we're talking about, God has given to us to take and to receive. But see, it cannot be separated by these things. And first is the armor itself. For you as a person, a Christ child, have to embrace the sword, but if you notice, it's the last thing that is given to you. Now, we're talking about prayer, but I'm talking about as in the armor. First, he gives you the truth, the belt. What is the truth? You must accept the truth. The truth of God's word, the truth revealed in Christ Jesus, the truth. And second, it is righteousness. Not only our understanding, our lack of righteousness, but the acceptance of Christ's righteousness upon us. That we take up the shoes and understand that there is no other name under heaven given among men that you must be saved. It's the good news. It's Jesus Christ. And it's the salvation that we have received in Christ Jesus, that now we have become the children of God. And it's pulling up the faith and the understanding that it's the trust in God and His Word and what He has declared. It's so be it. It is done. That I am a child of God. I am now His and He is mine. I now can come boldly before His throne and gather His time, His place, His presence, that I belong. I'm free from the chaos of me. I'm free from my failure. I'm free from my success. I'm free from my wants and my needs. I'm free from my lack of. I'm free from all my hang-ups. I am free because He's declared it. Now, as we're learning, as we grow as children, it's putting that into practice daily, learning. Which brings us to the Word of God. And if you're not doing these things, we'll go back to separations. But just remember this. That's why we read it. Get familiar with it. That's why we study it. To learn it. To know it. That's why we memorize it. To apply it. That's why we meditate on it. To use it. That's why we listen. To learn it. It's five things that every one of us should be doing because it is the manual. How to use this sword. Study. Read. Meditate. Memorize. Learn. It's not a book. Don't put it on a shelf next to the encyclopedia or the dictionary. That's not it. You've missed it. It's alive. It's powerful. Not that itself is. Not that your book can start walking out of the room. That'd be kind of weird, huh? All of a sudden the Bibles just start walking out. You're not using me enough and they just start walking out. I'm going to this person. They seem like they're marking up their Bibles. Doesn't do that. Why? Because it's not that living. It's living because God breathed it. God says it. God declares it. It's true. So now, it's to understand how to use this sword, this most powerful thing that God has given to us, His own spoken word, as His children now, as His representatives. So we learn we can't separate it from the armor, but we can't separate it from His Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit's the one that teaches us, Jesus tells us through John. He's the one that brings it to remembrance. It's amazing how you can think that you're memorizing this one scripture and it's doing something good for you. But in the time of need, another scripture comes up. Totally different. Who's doing that? Not you, bonehead. It's God's Spirit. Rejoice. He brings it to remembrance. But He also, what He does is He gives us the words to speak when we need to. Isn't that amazing? See, we put too much upon ourselves. He's our teacher. And we can't separate His Word from Him. It doesn't work that way. He helps us to use it in time of need. He shows us how to use it in time of need. He's the author, or actually the breather of the Word. So we can't separate it from His Spirit. But something else you should take note of, we all should, you can't separate it from God's praise and worship. Did you know that? In Psalm 139, it's 149 verse 6. Listen, let the high praises of God be in your mouth and a two-edged sword be in their hand. Remember when children of Israel came out of Egypt, they had to fight, and I think it was against the Amorites. I'm not totally positive on that. But Moses went up on a hill and lifted his hands in praise and worship of God, and Joshua was in the valley fighting. Do you remember that? See, to use the sword is to understand something, that the one that is breathing it, the one that activates it, the one that is all-knowing and all-powerful and all-gracious, We're worshiping Him. It's not for my benefits. It's not for me. It's not for what I think should be done. No, it's totally in worship of God as representatives of Him, but also His children. That worship can never be separated from the using of His Word. That there's an awe whenever we take up God's Word and understanding that this is, regardless of how we feel, that this is the very Word of God, and it is active and it is working. Even when we don't feel it, God is at work. That's why we can have this confidence that the work that God has begun in your heart is going to be done. It's going to be complete because He says it, period. Know that. Know that. So we understand you can't separate it from, again, everything that we understand is becoming children of God, putting on the armor. Can't be separated from His Spirit because He's the one that uses it for us. He teaches us. He instructs us. He guides us in it too. I failed to mention that. So you're not alone when you pick up the Word. Ask the Lord, give me insight, teach me. What do I need to know in Your Word today? Stop thinking of just the big picture. That's part of it. But also understand that He will help us through His Word. He is the teacher, but also understand that to take His Word is to worship the very God that we've come into a relationship with through Christ. And the fourth thing that you can never separate from is Christ Himself. Peter put it this way, if anyone speaks, let him speak as it were the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do so with the ability that God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever 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 and ever. Meaning you are God's representative. You are Christ's representative. That the things that you speak according to His Word must bring glory to Jesus Christ. Which goes in line with the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit always draws attention to Christ. And Jesus always brings glory to His Father. And the Word that is on your lap, the Word that I hope is in your heart, the Word that is just on the inch of your tongue, ready to speak forth. Do you understand that? All things Christ is glorified. All things God is worshipped. All things that are true. All things that are righteous. All things that are pure. And the working of His Spirit to continually help us putting on the armor and using the sword. Now here's where it gets interesting. God says, here is my word, now use it. But the word that is shown being used is the spoken word, the rhema. To speak forth, to speak it out. So that, from my understanding, to help us with this, that when I'm in sin, then instead of just thinking it, I say that no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So when I'm tempted, I say it out loud. If you don't know where that scripture reference is, it's 1 Corinthians 10:13. Now you understand why we need to know this, because I know something of you. You're always being tempted. You're afraid? Look up scriptures that talk about fear. Like this one. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I speak it out. I say it out loud. Provision. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I speak it forth. Guidance. Psalm 32:8 says, I will instruct you. I will teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do I need strength? In Psalm 138:3 it says, in the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. See, there's a reason why we speak it out. It's because, see, I'm listening to myself. I hear it. Faith comes by hearing. I'm listening. That's right. That's true. There is a way of escape. So not only it helps with my faith, there's something else to take note of. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul says this, "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore we speak." So not only does it help my faith grow, but it also confirms what I do believe. I believe this. I know this to be true. And I'll give you a third reason why. Now, this might be a little more controversial because, see, there's a debate in the church. And it has to do with your enemy. One side says he cannot read your thoughts. The other side says, oh, he can read your thoughts. He knows exactly what you're thinking. So what do we do normally when we quote scripture? What do? We just say it in our mind, right? Why not just remove all doubt? Just speak it out. I know this is big, this is bold. I know this is amazing, isn't it? But it is truth. Now, please, I'm not trying to encourage you all to go around, you know, oh, there it goes. The guy must go to the upper room because he's on the corner going, no temptation shall take you! No, that's not what I'm saying here. I'm saying, speak it out. It doesn't have to be loud. But speak it out. Listen to your own words. Speaking forth God's word. Say it. It's alive. It's powerful. It's sharp. God backs it up. God uses it. Now there's one last thing I want to bring up. We know we can't separate it from the armor. Can't separate it from God's Spirit. Can't separate it from worshiping of God and who He is. We can't separate it from Christ and His glory. But here's the last thing. To speak it out. Growing in faith. Confirming faith. Battling what's at the moment. If you're still afraid and skeptical, what can I do? I mean, what if I say it wrong? Just remember this, that we're learning through the armor of God. It can never contradict God's character, God's power, God's intent. Never. Ever. Ever. See, as representatives of God, that's what you are. You're an ambassador. A representative of Christ. But we're to live Christ-like. And to live Christ-like is to bring glory to Christ. Bring honor and worship to God. But also represent who God is. God's love, God's care, God's good. You see, as I continue to put God's word in my heart and my mind, God's washing, He's using that word, just as we've talked about, as a surgeon's tool, cutting, dividing, separating, sanctifying. He's washing, He's cleansing, He's making me more and more like Him. He's doing not only cosmetic surgery, but heart surgery. It's taking His word and understanding that I don't understand all the intent and purposes of God, but I can rest in the knowledge that what God is going to do in any particular circumstance is good. is good. Always good. I might not understand it. He might supply my needs not the way I would want to, but it will be supplied. But it's also understanding what Paul knew. See, Paul would go on and say and tell us how he suffered much for Christ. Whips, beatings, being in the ocean, bobbing up and down for hours, being misunderstood, being attacked, all to preach Christ. And yet he'd tell us that all these things I count as rubbish. Anything that I had in this world materially, because I understand something. I understand that it is rubbish. That, see, my citizenship's not here. I belong somewhere else. So if they, and again, paraphrasing this, if they so did to Christ, do you think it's going to be any different with you? See, that's where the sword really gets activated, because now all of a sudden it's not used for selfish means. If God so chooses to heal something on me, then that's for God's glory. I trust Him. If God so chooses to use me in a particular area, that's for His glory, for His honor. If God so chooses to use me as a man that will work hard and not be a man of the world, but not complain, but do what I'm supposed to do, do it right, do it in a godly fashion, then I bring glory to Him. But it's also, if you will, entering in to a place that most people feel very uncomfortable in. And that's the fact, and we'll talk about it next week, is to speak it forth in prayer. Why isn't there healing? Why isn't God moving in ways that people so long for? It's because, again, we misuse His sword. It's too powerful for children. God's got to trust us with it. And that's my hope. It's my prayer. That's why we battle in this. That's why we're chewing on this. That's why we're not going to give in to just sit here and just talk about things that make you feel good. God needs children that are going to go forth in the truth of His Word. To go forth not for their own selfish means and gain, not for their own popularity, not for their own dress, not for their own makeup, not for them. For Him. And being able to rejoice in the fact that God is God. Now, as an exercise, I handed some of this out to y'all. Do you have it? Who does not have a copy of this? Anyone else? Okay, stand up. We're going to do some responsive reading. Okay, ready? The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit. That is responsive, isn't it? I mean unison, I'm sorry. You're right. Wait, this isn't going the way I planned it. Okay. You ready? A one and a two and... The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. And furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors, through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You just said that. Now, I want you to do something. Take that home and read it again quietly in front of Him. If we could just get past ourselves and our own little hang-ups, wow, this world doesn't have a chance. It doesn't have a chance with or without us, to be honest with you. But I'm just talking about the world around us. You have in your hand a sword that is so powerful that the enemy bows down. He's afraid of it. That's why he gets the church on all this intellectual stuff, which in its place is good. We need knowledge. We need to learn it. But again, remember that five aspects that I just told you about. It's also to be able to apply it. It's to use it. It's to understand it. It's to understand who God is. It's to understand what it means in my life of who I am. We sing it, I am a child of God. I am His child. God loves me. God has equipped me. God wants to use me. God has a plan for me. God is waiting to see me with Him in heaven, with a seat with my name on it, that He may utter the beautiful words, "Welcome home. Well done. You saw me. You believed in me. You trusted me. Well done." Isn't that amazing? I don't see a group of people here. I see warriors. God equipped powerful warriors. Not because you feel it, because He says it. Not that you're alone. Look around. We're together. Not that you have any without instruction. No, you have God's Spirit and God's Word. And now He looks and seeks to those that will use it. May that be us. Let's pray. Father, just thank You for the truth that we all heard this morning. Lord, we all needed this. Lord, You know where we're weak at. Help us to be men and women that will know your scripture, that we can meditate on it, that we can memorize it, that we may use it. Lord, help us to also take the time to continue to read it, to be familiar with it, to study it, to know it. But also help us to be men and women, Lord, that will listen. Not only speaking it forth with our own mouths, but when others are speaking your word, to listen. Lord, I just thank you for this fellowship. I thank you, Lord, because we are different. Not that better is different, but we're different. We're unique in your hands, and we just pray, oh God, help us not be in your way. Do what you desire to do in the midst of us. Help us, Lord, to submit and yield. Be glorified in this body. But also, Lord, I just pray for these warriors. Use them, Lord, mightily. Help them to implement the truths of your armor and your sword. Help them, Lord, in all things give you glory, praise, and honor, and worship of the truth that is in them. And let them continue, Lord, to wear the full armor, knowing they are clothed in Christ Jesus. And the enemy is shaking. Now, Lord, we just pray, prepare our hearts for next week, so we understand what it means to really drive that sword in deep. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.